ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 71 द लॉर्ड ट्रेवल्स टू इंद्रप्रस्थ टेक्स्ट नंबर 41। श्वश्रवा संचोदिता कृष्णा कृष्णपत्नी च सर्वस्य अनार्च रुक्मिणीं सत्यां भद्रां जाम्बवतीं तथा श्वश्रवा संचोदिता कृष्णा कृष्णपत्नीश्च सर्वशः अनर्च रुक्मिणीं सत्यां भद्रां जाम्बवतीं तथा श्वश्रवा संचोदिता कृष्णा कृष्णपत्नीश्च सर्वशः अनार्च रुक्मिणीं सत्यां भद्रां जाम्बवतीं तथा श्वश्रवा संचोदिता कृष्णा कृष्णपत्नीश्च सर्वशः अनार्च रुक्मिणीं सत्यां भद्रां जाम्बवतीं तथा। जाम्बवतीं तथा श्वश्रवा संचोदिता कृष्णा कृष्णपत्नीश्च सर्वशः अनर्च रुक्मिणीं सत्यां भद्रां जाम्बवतीं तथा। लेडीज श्वश्रवा संचोदिता कृष्णा कृष्णपत्नी सर्वशः अनर्च रुक्मिणीं सत्यां भद्रां जाम्बवतीं तथा। श्वश्रवा बाय हर मदर इन लॉ कुंती संचोदिता एनकरेज्ड कृष्णा द्रौपदी कृष्ण पत्नी कृष्णस वाइव्स च एंड सर्वशः ऑल ऑफ देम अनर्च शी वर्शिप्ड रुक्मिणीं रुक्मिणी सत्याम सत्यभामा भद्रम जाम्बवतीं भद्रा एंड जाम्बवती तथा also. The next verse is Kalindim Mitravindam Cha Saibhyam Nagnajatim Satim Anyas Cha Bhyagatat Yastu Vashashran Mandan Adibhi. Translation. Encouraged by her mother-in-law, Draupadi worshipped all of Krishna's wives, including Rukmini, Satyabhama, Bhadra, Jambavati, Kalindi, Mitravinda, descendant of Shibi the chaste Nagnajiti, and the other queens of the Lord who were present. Draupadi honored them all with such gifts as clothing, flower garlands, and jewelry. Next few verses. King Yudhishthir arranged for Krishna's rest and saw to it that all who came along with him, namely his queens, soldiers, ministers and secretaries, were comfortably situated. He arranged that they would experience a new feature of reception every day while staying as guests of the Pandavas. This translation is taken from Srila Prabhupada's Krishna, 44 and 45, and we end the chapter with that. Desiring to please King Yudhishthir, the Lord resided at Indraprastha for several months. During his stay, he and Arjun satisfied the fire god by offering him the Khandava forest, and they saved Mayadanava, who then built King Yudhishthir a celestial assembly hall. The Lord also took the opportunity to go riding in his chariot in the company of Arjun, surrounded by a retinue of soldiers. Purport. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna, it was during this time that Lord Krishna, with the help of Arjun, for the satisfaction of the fire god Agni, allowed Agni to devour the Khandava forest. During the forest fire, Krishna saved the demon Mayasura, who was residing in the forest, who was hiding in the forest. Upon being saved, Mayasura felt obliged to the Pandavas and Lord Krishna, and he constructed a wonderful assembly house within the city of Hastinapur. In this way, Lord Krishna, in order to please King Yudhishthir, remained in the city of Hastinapur for several months. During his stay, he enjoyed strolling here and there. He used to drive on chariots along with Arjun, and many warriors and soldiers used to follow them. Thus ends the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to the 10th canto, 71st chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Lord Travels to Indraprastha.
Om Agyanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Shahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nanda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
We can see this beautiful verses we're reading. It's a very happy occasion. We can try and perceive what is the joy being experienced by the Pandavas in this situation. When we say the word life and soul, we say Krishna is the life and soul of the Pandavas. So this life and soul, so when there is so much, you cannot separate life from the soul. because life is the presence of the soul, or soul is the presence of the life, whatever you say it. But life and soul are integral, inseparable entities. So when you say somebody is life and soul, means that you cannot survive. They are your life, they are like your breath. And no one can live without breath. It is explained in previous verses that when the Pandavas were sitting in their palaces and they heard the news that Krishna is coming with a whole retinue of his followers, soldiers, queens, the way they got up from their seats, it's like as if life has come back to their dead bodies. There was a surge of, you know, heightened consciousness, the surge of joy, surge of ecstasy just hit them so hard that, oh, Krishna is coming. You know, like there is a book about Prabhupada called Prabhupada is Coming. I think it is in what, Australia or something, I don't know which part of the world, but anybody remembers that? But in those days, Prabhupada's traveling was so frequent, and you know, the message was so cryptic that Prabhupada is coming, that's all. So, and the fact that Prabhupada is coming to a particular center was the greatest joy of the life of the devotees. Prabhupada is coming. Like that. So Krishna has come here to fulfill his purposes. Krishna has his purposes. They're all divine, non-selfish purposes. We have selfish purposes in life to achieve. Krishna has the Supreme Self himself, so there is nothing like selfish, because he is the Supreme Self. So there is nothing like selfish purposes to achieve. But it is explained that he came to Indraprastha. On one account, he came here because it was the advice of his best friend. This was Uddhav. He came here for that. However, the Acharya also explained that the internal reason that he came was to meet with his eternal associate, Kalindi. Because during this time, when the Lord is staying in the Prastha, it was about 4 months. This is the Chaturmas, which typically Vedic culture emphasizes as a place, time when, you know, you stay in one place, you do not travel, and you focus on satsang and, you know, spiritual activity, because you're not allowed, you know, you cannot travel because outside it is raining. So they came specifically in the Chaturmasa period. So about 4 months the Lord stayed here in Indraprastha. And during this time, one of the things he did was to, you know, go and get his associate, eternal wife, Kalindi, married. This comes up also in the 58th chapter of the 10th canto. It describes how when Krishna married all these wives, so this part is described there as well, Krishna coming to Indraprastha. And that connection, how Krishna married Rukmini, how Krishna married Indra Nagnajiti, how he married Kalindi. So then that chapter also mentions this part of what comes here in the 71st chapter. So the emphasis here Shukdev Goswami seems to be giving is about the intricacies of the reception. We can see that he is stressing Krishna, how he was received, how he was welcomed, how he was ushered inside. Then how he met, came to the, you know, inner, the antargriba, you know, the lower, the inner part of the palaces, and how the queens were received, how they were worshipped. So the whole mood seems to be what Shukdev Swami seems to be teaching us this nice lesson is about the culture of hospitality. That seems to be what, because we see that in Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukdev Goswami never seems to miss this chance to tell us about how great souls are received. He always, how Sudama was received by Krishna, how Krishna is received in various places, how the great kings received the sadhus, you know, how when the now Yogendras came, what did Marad Nimi do? So all these things about how the reception is done of a particular person based on his stature in the Vedic hierarchy, that seems to be a very integral and important part of the culture of Krishna consciousness, the Vedic culture, right? So, it cannot be undermined. If it is what Shukdev Goswami is saying so many times in the Bhagavatam again and again about how the Lord and the sadhus are received, it cannot be undermined. It has to be something which is to be placed in a very high scale of value. So this whole hospitality culture is a very, very sacred and a very refined part of the Vedic Sabhyata. Essentially what a person actually is or what he really follows in his life would be very easy to estimate by how he receives people. How he receives people, how he deals with them. If you consider hospitality as in a part of guest coming, then you know there would be say, different categories of different levels of different aspects of it. One is how you are received, right? That means who goes to receive. It's a very big protocol. You know, even when I remember when this our late and wonderful soul Abdul Kalam, our APJ Kalam, past president of India, came to our hospital in 3.5 or 4 years ago to inaugurate our cardiac hearts and the heart care center. You know, there was too much of discussion among the senior members of the hospital as to how he's to be received. There was a lot of discussion, who will receive him, who will handshake with him, who will give him the flower bouquet, and who will give him the flower to offer to Srila Prabhupada, and who will usher him in the lift, and who will receive him at the fifth floor, and who will make him sit down on the chair, and who will introduce him, and who will give him a glass of water, and who will, usher him out. You know, and what will he eat, and how will he eat, and where will he eat, and what vessels will he eat? So how about receiving people, number one, then after they received, then how they are stationed. So where they stay, who's supposed to stay where? I'm sure the guest reception department here also has to tackle this this issue many times. Who will receive, and where do they stay? They can't stay in this room, they can stay in that room. No, this number not so good, this can stay in this room. So, you know, there may be things like that. So, who stays where and how they are stationed. And the third part would be what food they are given. So, what food? Because food is such a very, very special, integral and a delicate part of culture. How you are served, in what you are served, what mannerisms you have to do it during service. Like that. So it's a very detailed science. It's not just you take a bucket and you just keep on pouring whatever is you're given to you in the respective containers. It's far more deeper than just, you know, physically the act of just giving out whatever you're giving, like rice or dal or chapati, whatever. No, there's so much more to it than that. The third and the fourth part is how you are sent off, how you are actually given the proper departure. Right? Don't we know? We know this fact that, you know, Prabhupada's books mention this, that if a pujari is worshipping the deity, who is the most important person in the temple, is the deity obviously, and there is nobody in the temple hall at all, it's a vacant temple hall, and a guest comes in, a devotee or a swami, no, it could be any guest, it could be just a regular man on the road who just walks into the temple. It is said that the pujari may have to put down his arati paraphernalia and receive the guest and say, "Welcome, sir. Please have a seat for a few minutes. Kindly allow me to do my worship and I'll then attend to you." Like that, something, you know, he would have to interact with him and make him comfortable and then okay, go back to his service. So that's how high, that's how important is guest reception. That you can even sort of postpone your deity worship for a few minutes to receive a guest, because he must not be left unreceived. Nobody in the temple of the Lord should be left unreceived. And even in our homes or even our institutes or organizations, everyone needs to feel welcomed, everyone needs to feel received well. Because there's nothing more hurting to the mind than the act of neglect. You know, it's very hurting to the mind. I would not say the false ego, it's just the mind. It's not that we have to think, oh, this is false ego, you know, you need to be received well. No, it's a part of sensitivity that you received well. If you're not received well and you neglected, then, he was welcome, and they didn't even look at me. They didn't even say any words to me. That neglect. And after that, whatever else you do, you give him a nice, well, you know, guy, nice place to sleep and a nice this thing. But you are not received well. That means you are probably not so welcome. So, I think these fine sensitivities is what Krishna consciousness is all about. And therefore, we find that in Vedic culture, when even these very specific etiquettes are not followed, there can be huge disaster to spiritual life. But if it's like a detail, so many people came, we forgot to listen properly. So we can rationalize. But if Indra is sitting on his darbar, attending to his court and various activities, and if the spiritual master comes in, and he doesn't stand to receive him, and the whole Srimad Bhagavatam, that particular canto, is about the details about what disaster, fell upon, like hell practically broke loose on Indra's head for not receiving his Guru Maharaj properly. He did not receive Brihaspati well, and Brihaspati felt, this guy is too puffed up to, even acknowledge the presence of his Guru Maharaj in the courtroom, and he's enjoying with these, this sort of, reception and his grandeur and songs and dance and everything else, and he became upset. He didn't say anything. He didn't sort of curse. He didn't even curse him. He just went and understood that my disciple is puffed up. He just went and sort of, shut himself in a room. But even that act of neglect made him so weak that demons actually detected that, and being people who had received, served, honored Brahmanas properly. Now imagine, they are demons. They are demons. They are envious of Vishnu. But they know that there is something which has power. And what is that? Reception and honor of Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. They know that the power is hidden here. The power bank, the power source is here. If they are pleased with us, then with their tejas, when they bless us, then even the demigods who are devotees of Vishnu, they cannot defeat us. So Vishnu said, no, Indra, you can't fight with them because the time is not right. So that's the amount of power, shakti, which is there within the blessings at the feet of a Brahman or a Vaishnava. That's the power. And having neglected that, the demigods became weak, he became weak, he lost the war, and he was like homeless, he was wandering here and there, and he had to, summon somebody else because his guru was not there to guide him. He went to Vishwarupa, then made his sacrifice, and then, the whole thing, and he chanted some, because he was a little inclined towards the demons, he chanted some mantra which were also appeasing to the demons. Indra became angry, upset, and he slashed off the head of his guru, Vishwarupa. And then from that, his father got angry, and this Tvashta became angry, and the whole demon was created from that. Oh my God, the whole thing. And then Chitrakasu's story is there, and the whole thing is there. That all stems from just one act of what may seem like to us, ordinary mortals, hey, come on, why are you making a big thing out of it, Don't make a big mountain out of a mole. If you're not received well, it's alright, He will understand. She will understand, No. It's not a question of understanding. It's upon us to receive. Same thing we hear. Srimad Bhagavatam is very, very strong about the perils of not welcoming people properly. It's very strong. Again, when Balramji Maharaj comes to Naimisharanya, and our Rumachand Sutra doesn't get up, same thing. Now he is supposed to be the professor of Puranic history, disciple of Srila Vyas. So if you are a disciple of an honored Acharya, then it is imperative that you behave by some standards. If Roman Sutta was an ordinary man and he had done this apparent neglect, he would have been pardoned by Balramji. He said, "Theek hai yaar, this guy is, he's an ordinary fellow. I don't expect much out of him." If a disciple of Vyas or a disciple of an Acharya, disciple of a, paramparak sampradayik spiritual master, initiated in the proper rituals, then it is imperative that we have to stand up to the proper etiquette and culture to represent the spiritual master and the parampara he stands for properly. Otherwise, that act of neglect can cause disaster. So it's very, So, you know, that's why I believe that Shukla Goswami is talking about reception so much. Like even the marriage, like you have a marriage, right? Marriage ceremony, and then there's this Saptapati vows and going around the fire. But what happens afterwards, the whole ceremony which happens afterwards is called as a reception. The whole thing happens, you know, in the morning is a marriage usually, and then the whole evening part, 3-4 hours, whatever it is, the whole thing is called as reception. The whole event. So the patrika will be given, marriage, hastamelap, so and so, you know, kanyadan, so and so time, this day, whatever. And then last is, another cover will be there. Reception at Grand Hyatt or Radha Girdhari temple, whatever it is, Radha Gopinath, you know, whatever. Huh? And then it's called a reception. So I was thinking the whole event is called as reception. That means how you are going to be received. Huh? Therefore, who stands at the door welcoming the guest? There is the bride and bridegroom are standing inside to, you know, receive them, thank them for coming and give them a good smile and receive their gifts, whatever. But who's standing out there, you know, how they're being welcomed? Someone gives attar, somebody gives a garland, or somebody gives warm welcome and says, sir, please come. And then someone has to escort them. If a very, very important person comes, then if there are four people standing there, then one says, okay, you know, you go. The person is escorted right up till the bride and bridegroom. You have to be escorted there because he's so important. He cannot say, welcome, sir, you know, please, you know, go in, you know, do the needful. No, you have to actually go with him. So these are all beautiful finities of Vedic culture. Like even in a conference also, you know, it is not just applicable to Krishna consciousness. It is just the way civilized people live in this world. It is just a part of civilization. You go to a big conference, if the faculty member comes in for a conference who is a speaker, then you just can't say, welcome sir, you know, this is your keys and go to stay in the hotel. You go to the fifth floor and stay there. You have to go with him. If you're a big doctor or a big lawyer, whatever the conference is, the doctor can come and say, sir, can I accompany you? You go him, you may have to open the keys for him of the door he's staying and said, this is your room, sir. And make him comfortable there and say, if anything is there, please contact me or him or so-and-so, 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 like that. So that's the type of thing which we are supposed to live by. So Krishna consciousness is a very, very beautiful, not just Krishna consciousness, I would say civilized life. Civilized life itself. I think when I say Krishna consciousness, means we believe that Krishna consciousness means that it is the art of living by those type of people who are evolved to the highest level of civilization. That is Vaishnava. So when we may not have to really differentiate every time devotee, non-devotee, which we often do, and we make a terrible mistake and mess out of our consciousness with that. You know, dichotomy of consciousness we create in our mind. It's very, very harmful, very, very damaging to our mind to do that all the time. But we should feel that Krishna consciousness is basically a culture of those, a society of those people, whether it's Iskon or that mutt or this mutt, whatever it is, of those type of people who are behaving in a way which is most appropriate for the most civilized people in the world. That's what Vaishnava is about. So when we behave anything less than that, we misrepresent Krishna consciousness. And therefore, we can find out the purport of this in one word of Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada says to when asked a journalist, how does anyone know who is the follower of your particular movement? And when Prabhupada says that he or she will be a gentleman, now that one word, gentleman, encapsulates all that we are talking about today. That means the way he receives, his politeness, his courtesy, his softness of speech, and his demeanor of respect is what actually is a Vaishnav, more than the external garb. Because we may go to a place without Vaishnav, you know, markings on our body, but if we behave in a particular way, That's it. So therefore, this is something which is so important and so impressive to the heart when we see this culture of respect and honor, that this has been picked up completely by the material world. And in the tourist industry, the hospital industry, these industries, which are all called as hospitality industry, or they call it specifically the service industry, they call it. That's the word they use, service industry. That means how you come to a hotel, how, when you are received well, with a smile. So why you come to this hotel? Why you don't go to the next one? Rooms are full, sorry. No, when you received well, the people who choose, like, you know, Peter Borvos writes in his books, that he goes to a particular hotel regularly, or he goes to a particular... Now, Peter Borvos is a man of quality. I'm talking, quoting his word, his name specifically, because he is a man who is a very refined man. He's a very refined, he's a highly cultured, and a very high-quality gentleman, I would say. Not really, he's a very high-quality gentleman. And, of course, in his heart, he's a Vaishnav. Though he may not appear to be like that externally. So when he writes in his books that I go to a particular petrol pump, because that petrol pump fellow, you know, treats me with such respect, so even if I have to drive a long distance from A place to B place, I'll fill my gas at his petrol. And I'd practically forgotten that there's any other petrol wala in the city, because I used to always go from my place to his place, and I didn't even know. So when he actually closed the petrol pump, I didn't know where to go. He writes in his book like that. So why would a person go to a specific petrol pump or a specific hotel or a specific doctor or a specific hospital or a specific, you know, wherever, right? Because he sees culture, he sees service, he sees reception, right? And then when he sees that, now this is picked up by the material world, because this is what clicks. Because then you train people in this. You rigorously train people to keep on smiling. Rigorously, even if the client irritates you on the phone by stupid questions, the guy out on the phone on the other side, he said, "I'm sorry, ma'am. I'm sorry, sir, but this cannot be done the way you're saying." He keeps on being polite and keeps on saying sorry a million times. And I've seen this happen. And the opposite guy is saying, "But you should have done this way. You don't understand this. You know, you guys are all crazy and you're trying to cheat us." "I'm sorry, sir, but you know, this is the way it is to be done." He keeps on keeping his cool completely. And he subdues your anger by his politeness. And you keep on yelling at on the other side of the phone, and he keeps on not getting agitated. "I'm sorry, I understand you, madam. I understand you, sir. You know, I'm trying to explain you. Can you please understand that this is, you know, I have a means to help you." He will keep on saying that particular way without getting hot. The moment he gets hot and crazy and goes nuts, it is recorded. His conversation with that client is recorded, and he says, "You got angry with this client, you lost the client, the client was going to buy a product worth 100,000 rupees, and you lost him, you are fired from your job." So he cannot but get angry because it is under recording. Same thing for the Vaishnavas. Krishna is recording our conversation, and Krishna is recording our intentions behind. In that guy's case, is they only recording his words, but they don't care about his consciousness. He may be a fool, a rascal, alcoholic, he may be anybody. As long as he's polite, he gets his job, he gets his money, gets his increments, gets his promotion, everything else. Right? But in devotee's case, there are always two things. The external act has to be proper as per the defined standards of Vaishnavism, and the internal heart also will be checked. The Krishna is going to check with the microscope. What was it? Did he really become offensive? Was he actually polite? Was he gentle? So Krishna is going to scan your heart. Right? So we have to pass on both these fronts. But if we cannot pass on the inner front, then let us at least start passing on the external front. But that's the beginning. Things go from outside in. Right? Like, you're not a Vaishnav, right? You're not a Vaishnav. I'm not a Vaishnav still. But I still want to wear a cloth of a Vaishnav. A dhoti and a kurta. Because it has to start from... When I wear a Vaishnav cloth, at least I feel I'm a Vaishnav. When I apply tilak in my 12 parts of body, okay, this body is supposed to be dedicated to Krishna, to Vishnu Seva, by chanting all these 12 mantras. So I shouldn't be using this body for sense gratification. It reminds me. Right? So at least I start with the externals. Hopefully they will percolate down into my internals through my subtle layers of thick, you know, false ego layers of consciousness, and they will percolate down and touch my soul. So it starts at least from outside. Hari Bol Prabhu, Hare Krishna. At least I'm polite from outside. So can we all as a society learn from these beautiful verses today, at least, that we have to redefine sometimes and observe closely how we behave, how we talk, how we interact, how we receive, how we serve. That has to be something which we scan. So more than sometimes sadhana chart is important, sadachar chart. We stress sadhana chart sometimes in some temples and some presidents, some leaders, they stress, how much did you chant, when did you chant, when did you read, what time did you read, what time did you sleep, what time did you get up, etc., etc., and you keep on marking yourself. But sometimes it appears that we may do very well on that, but may score horribly on if there was a sadachar chart. How we believe in the sadachar. So that is probably equally, if not more important, in our Krishna consciousness, the sadachar part. You know? So these fine things are what makes a refined gentleman. This is what Prabhupada actually wants us to be. And these verses are strongly recommending us that we do that. And the whole festival, Keturigram festival, if you remember, Keturigram is a festival where the first time the Gaur Purnima was celebrated in the history of Vaishnavism. This is about 30 to 40 years after Mahaprabhu's departure. And it happened in Ketura, which is in Bangladesh now. Right? So then, there, how people were received. Now, receive means you have to send somebody to receive them, right? So you send a particular letter or invitation. So even that invitation letter, now we have emails, we can now, you know, email ka jamana, you know, everything is like that. So you just send an invitation by email, you know, they're not even a paper, you know, it's supposed to be eco-friendly, so no paper is there. But whatever. So you send an email, said, you know, this conference or this place or this welcoming, whatever. There's a whole greeting card is said on the email. Your birthday wishes also send on the email. You make a card and say, happy birthday to you, blah, blah, Hare Krishna, Ram Ram, whatever. And you send it across, right? But when they sent the Mahans, they sent to the Mahans of who were there in Shrikhanda, in Jajigram, and various places, they were there in Navadvip, in Shantipur, they're all scattered, all the Gaudiyas, and they were all reeling under the immense sorrow and pain of the loss of their dear Gauranga Nityananda and the Shad Goswamis are not there anymore. Maybe Raghunath Das was there, he was the most senior member of the team, and Jiva Goswami probably was the youngest. But Rupa Sanatan had gone, Srop Damodar had gone, all these people had gone, and they were like, feeling what his life is worth, for why are we living in this body? It's just so useless. There's no charm, there's no life, and all this appeared like a dreary void. So this festival, it seems, was the one which really reawakened, rekindled the desire to live among the Vaishnava community, who are completely dead because the Pranath had gone from this world, Gaur and Nitai. So even the letters we sent to them were handwritten. And each one was not the same letterings to arrow them. So, there is a Keturigram festival on Falafala date, at Falafala Tithi, please kindly come. Everyone with their names and different wordings was given a different lettering. And everyone said, please kindly come. We are giving you advance notice. And then how they were received, Santosh Dutt, who was the brother of Krishnananda Dutt, was the father, was the king, and his son was Narottam Das Thakur. Krishnananda Dutt's younger brother was Santosh Dutt. Santosh Dutt practically said he emptied out his treasury in this festival. Whatever he had is a king, but you know, obviously receiving people is not an ordinary thing. He had to make boats. Now you may have a boat, you know, the Padma River has to be crossed. So Padma, how many boats are there in Padma River for the people to come and go? Maybe 10, 15, whatever is there. Now you have hordes of people, thousands of people coming in. And if they had to wait for, you know, 2 days on the other part of the shore to be received, they said, "Apna number aayega, baitho jara idhar." You cannot do that. You have to have so many, so you constructed boats, and how they were received, the garlands, and everyone was given a proper place to stay, and a servant to stay with. The whole culture of hospitality, which we read about today, in this beautiful verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, was duplicated that time in the Keturigram festival. And that again, when they saw how they were received, they felt life is worth living. They came to each other, Sangha. So all these delicate things, how Janavadevi conducted the ceremony, how there was, how she followed the highest etiquette. Janavadevi is the wife of Nityananda Ram. She is the senior most acharya of the times. But she ate the last. Generally when you are senior, you want to eat the first. I said, mere ko nahi diya. You feel, mere ko plate nahi diya. I am so senior here. Right? But she served all the Mahans, all the great, you know, Vaishnava Acharyas who had come, all the great associates of Lord Chaitanya had come. He served them. Then all the people who were serving, she served them. Then he served all the, you know, Srinivas Acharya, everyone, she served them. And last she had last. This is such a high quality thing. Now she must have been hungry. She must have been tired. Because she had cooked, it is said, a whole kund of dal. Not tapela of dal. We have in Gaurang Prabhu has this whole big tapela where five people can sleep inside. You know, huge vessel. And I know, I saw the other day in the Vrindavan Yatra, that even the, what is called, jhara, just to, you know, connectly. But eight feet tall jharas are there. Keep on doing. So huge tapela. But she made a kund of dal. There are so many people, you can imagine, when a kund of dal is made, that means how many people must have come for that festival. And she made it all alone. Janava Devi. What must be her level of exhaustion? And she was a young, you know, girl of 16 years old. She must have been, Nityananda Prabhu has left this world, or she's definitely in her 60s. You know? But she had the last prasad. Last thing. I'm a servant of the servant of the servant. Let me serve all of you. If you are happy, then I'm happy. Mother. The mother eats the end, right? Mother never eats first. Mother says, hey, mere ko bhook laga hai, child ko baat. Child eats first, husband eats first, the in-laws eat first, everyone eats, and then whatever remains, the wife may eat. She doesn't eat, she may be happy with just achar and bhakri. That is culture. Right? So Janavadi ate in the end. So these beautiful stories are so deeply instructive, heartwarming, and enlivening to the consciousness. Because it brings us to the core of Krishna consciousness. What does chanting lead us into? What does deity worship actually lead us into? What does the panchanga bhakti lead us into? It leads to us to a level of consciousness where we actually become so refined a people. How we deal with Vaishnavas, deal with the outside world. People will be impressed. This is Vaishnava. Right? This is Vaishnava. So, we need to take a deep inspiration from these stories. How Krishna is dealing with, you know, we know this story, how Krishna is dealing with, how he's dealing with Arjuna, how he's dealing with Yudhishthir, with Bhimsen, with Nakula and Sahadev, how he's dealing with them. He's equal of Arjun, so he's embracing them. Bhimsen and Yudhishthir Maharaj are elder to him, so he's actually offering obeisances to them. Now Krishna is a friend of Arjun, a friend of Yudhishthir and Bhimsen. But because they're elder in age, Bhimsen is elder to age, and Krishna offering obeisances. Krishna offering obeisances. Oh my God. It's too much to even think about. Krishna offering obeisances. The whole world, Brahma, Shiva, and 30 million demigods, all are offering, trying to get the dust of Krishna's head, you know, feet on his head. But here is Krishna, the cause of all causes, the supreme being, the soul, supreme soul of all souls, the source of Mahavishnu, offering obeisances to his devotee, Bhimsen. Offering obeisances to his elder brother, as a cousin brother, Yudhishthir Maharaj. What is Krishna? How refined he is. How very fine his dealings are with the devotees. How wonderful. And how his pure devotee also, you know, take from him the same mood of how they deal with each other. Hoping and praying today that we can imbibe through these beautiful verses and try to be what Prabhupada wants us to be. He wants us to be all nice gentlemen and gentle ladies. So it's a strong reminder from these verses that we need to re-examine what shortcuts we may have taken, because as we grow senior, sometimes as we become a little more, you know, accustomed to Krishna conscious so-called lifestyle, we may start cutting corners, and neglects those things which we had followed when we were young, new, fresh devotees. We were more respectful, we were more kind, we were more gentle, we were more honorable in our behavior. We may have probably cut corners in that because, the way of this world is like that. It is things degenerate with time. So these are like refreshers for all of us, refresher reminders for all of us to again re-examine and, as Prabhupada said, do the needful. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So any questions, any comments, today's verse? Thank you very much. Prabhupada ki jai.